Sermon text for this 12th Sunday after Pentecost is going to be taken from the Old Testament. I realized I haven't done an Old Testament one in a while, so trying to commit to a word that I said about a year and a half ago. But anyways, we're going to read from Genesis. We'll read from Genesis chapter 18, and we'll read this in Jesus' name. You can remain seated. And we're going to read from chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, once again, in Jesus' name. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought to wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may be refreshed yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three sieves of flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man, who prepared it quickly. And he took curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now when Abraham and Sarah were old and advanced in years, the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I find pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall indeed bring her a child, now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at that appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise and we thank you for this word. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We live in a generation or a time now that I have a tendency to say we're a microwave society. And what I mean by that is we definitely want things instant. I mean, you have to admit, I've kind of stopped drinking coffee. I pretty much have, unless someone puts one in front of me at their house, and then I'll drink it. But the fact of it is that I've gone to tea, and my wife got me a teapot. And, you know, it's a really good one, and it takes probably about maybe 2 minutes for that thing to come to a boil. Boy, is that a long time. You know, we live in the generation of Keurigs where we pop a pot in and phew, we have coffee within, 30 seconds. You know, we don't want to wait in a line for a toll booth anymore, so we have Easy Pass. You know, we don't want to wait for ovens or things like that, so we have air fryers and we have microwaves. Just kind of amazing how we get very, very hetta, hurried, impatient. Well, it's no different in the biblical times. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they had been promised. Now, this is the third time that they were told that they were going to have a son. And really, the theme of this whole thing is really anything too much for God. Kind of even the Lord says that in the end of his text here. But three times, at least, they were encouraged that they were going to have a child. But does it happen in our time frame? And that's often how we can get very impatient, when we realize that we want something to be done. You know, my wife always makes that statement, patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, seldom in a woman, never in a man. And I understand that immensely, because I'm very impatient. I know I am. Anyone that's worked with me knows that I want things done, and I want them done now. And that's not a good trait. I'm not saying like this is something I should be proud of. I think I'm afraid to pray for patience, because the Lord teaches you patience. He doesn't just give them to you. And learning is difficult sometimes, especially for one such as myself. But, you know, they came up with this idea, you know, Sarah does, and she's like, maybe things are taking a little too long. And this is where life gets messy. We come up with a plan, and oftentimes we can come up with a plan and we think we're so smart in figuring this plan out. We're gonna help God. And then when the plan comes to fruition, oftentimes we have a tendency to say, I don't like it. It's not good. I don't know if you've ever done that before. You know, you thought you saw a problem in your life, and you said, well, this is all I'm going to do. Maybe I'm just going to consolidate all my bills into one credit card, and I'll only have one credit card. That's a good plan. But the behavior never stops, so therefore we consolidate everything in, and we find ourselves, a year or two later, just as much debt as we were before, plus the big loan that we took. I remember years ago when I got out of seminary, I was in debt up to my eyeballs. And I went down to Superior National Bank, and I sat in front of my friend, Mr. Polisari, and he's like, what do you need? And I told him, I want to consolidate everything into one. Now that I'm graduated, now that I'm done, I can work full-time, and I can focus on this. And I had the equity and things, so we lined everything up, and he was sitting there telling me, you know, I've had people do this before, and within 2 years, they're back in debt again, and they still have this loan. I thought, well, how dumb could you be to do that? I know what I'm doing. I got a plan. Well, following year, I ended up with cancer. I ended up going through 3 years of chemo. I ended up not working. I ended up doing a lot of stupidity to try to just maintain the household. I found myself exactly where Mr. Polisari told me I was 2 years later. Sometimes when we conceive a plan without seeking from God, it can turn into a mess. Well, Sarah, she came up with a plan. She decided that, you know, things were happening a little slow. So that she turns around and she actually tells, now, Abraham, I have a servant, Haggai. He says, why don't you go with her? And that'll be great, because then this child can be born, and then we'll have this lineage. We'll have this seed. This must be what God wants. I'm adding some words in here. You can read it for yourself in the previous chapter. But what happens? When this takes place, Sarah becomes very jealous. And she's not very happy about the situation. And she's complaining to Abraham about it. And finally, Abraham turns out to be the man that we all are. And he says, do what you want, honey. I'm done. Do what you want with her. Because he didn't want to be in the middle. But don't worry. God took care of her. And God took care of Ishmael. But the fact of it is, the proof that we see here is that when human beings step outside of the bounds and the will of God, we often turn things into a mess. Because we really think that we can control things. But God is the ultimate one that's in control. And where our trust needs to be is found in Him. That we would be encouraged and that we'd be strengthened. That when God speaks something in our favor, that it will take place. Maybe not fast enough for, you know, Hetahozu Jesse. Maybe not fast enough for impatient you. I don't know. But God's word is true, and it is powerful. And why it's so important to understand this, because when God speaks word to us, so important as salvation, that by the blood of Christ, that each and every one of us will be redeemed by grace through faith, that is a word that needs to be heard. That is a word that needs to be believed. Because it is ultimately life for us. So one of the first things that we can learn in our lives, and I am no different than anybody else, is to wait patiently upon the Lord, because He knows what is best. So we come to this scene once again, where in reality, the Lord comes directly now comes directly. You can't get any more impersonal than this. This is a powerful moment. And everyone's like, well, how does Abraham know it's the Lord? Well, first and foremost, he's the Lord. And he can reveal it. And the word speaks very directly to us. In chapter 18, verse 1, it says, and the Lord appeared to him. The Lord came to him. I think it's so interesting that there's three of them. And so, anyways, the Lord comes to him as he was sitting there in the heat of the day. So he was in the hottest point of the day, and he's sitting in his tent door, just kind of looking out over everything he owns and what's going on in his life. He's just kind of being an overtaker or overseer. And he says, he lifts up his eyes, and what's in front of him? There's hope. In the midst of this heat, in the midst of this desolate land, basically now there is hope. When he opens his eyes and he looks up, he sees that there was three men standing in front of them. And he instantly knows who it is. And so he runs over and he goes from the tent door and he meets them. But he actually falls in this prostrate position. He lays on the ground. He is basically giving honor and respect, which is very powerful. Another great indicator that this is God himself, no doubt about it. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we often believe, is found here. And it's just so interesting. So he bows down to the earth, and then he turns and he makes this statement. He says, oh Lord, if I have found any favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. I think it's really amazing. Because I had just given you the whole understanding of Ishmael, of what came about. And in our human tendency, we could easily say, why would the Lord find favor in Abraham? He just did everything opposite of what God desired. He took things into his own hand. He listened in reality to his wife. They went through this whole process. Then the wife became jealous. Now they're going to push her out. Hagar, they're going to push her out. But this is the graciousness of our God. See, I want you to understand that even though we go through life sometimes and we're fumbling, sometimes we mess up big time. I don't know if you ever have, but I know I have. God still desires for us to be his children. He still finds favor in us because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. But do we recognize him? Do we see him at work? Do we understand his will and his ways? Do we pray and ask for him in reality to reveal what he would desire for each and every one of us? Abraham's sitting there minding his own business, sitting at his tent door. I don't know what's going on through his mind. It's in the heat of the day. We know the exhaustion that comes with that. And he looks up and he sees three men. The Lord came to him. And he runs there. And in reality, a style of worship, he falls before them and he says, if I have found any favor in your sight, don't pass by. Don't just go by me. Now, I'm reading into this a little bit. I would imagine by what he had just gone through with his experience between Sarah and Hagar, in any humanness, someone would be saying, boy, I kind of blew it. Can you imagine Peter after he denied Christ three times? The struggle that he felt, that it said he left there and he bitterly wept. We can't think of ourselves so highly to think that we wouldn't struggle in these areas. Have you ever struggled in an area where you felt that you've done something that maybe the Lord wasn't proud of? Maybe you've made an error. Maybe you didn't believe something and you struggle within yourself. But when Peter is in that position, what's the first thing that he tells those that found him? Go tell Peter. Go tell Peter that I'm alive. Go tell Peter that the grave did not hold me. Because Peter needed to be encouraged. And I feel right here, very personally, that Abraham, he needed encouragement. He needed to know that God still desired him and that God still desired to have this relationship and that his promises would be fulfilled. When Abraham had Ishmael, he was 86 years old. 86. He's 99 in the text that we are, one chapter over. 13 years had passed. Talk about patience, right? So many times we think things have to happen right now. So many times we think one more election and everything's going to be straightened out. Sometimes we think, well, just one more job and we'll have it done. We'll be secure for life. There's so many things that we could bring this to as far as a point. We think that if we just do this and this, we're going to be all set. But it's God's timing. And his timing is perfect. If you found any favor in me, don't pass by. He says, in fact, let me bring out a little bit of water and let me have your feet washed. In other words, to give you this restoration. He says, and you can rest yourselves here under this tree for shade. He says, and I'll bring you a morsel. And I love how he says this. Let me bring you a morsel of bread. I mean, a morsel sounds like it's just one little piece. He actually tells Sarah to prepare 21 quarts of flour. That's how much flour he tells her to do. That'd make a lot of bread. That's how thankful he is. But he says, let me bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. He says, he doesn't talk about the calf. He doesn't talk about the curds. He doesn't talk about the milk. He doesn't talk about any of that. He's just like, you know, kind of a, you go to some elders' homes, right? I mean, I remember one of the people that I used to visit when she was home was Betty Rohonen. I was just talking to her about this week. When you go there, she'd say, well, I'll have coffee on. If you're going to her house when she was living at home, you don't eat that day because she will feed everything to you. The table for two people was just full. But she would tell everybody, we're just going to have coffee. So Abraham is just having coffee here. He says, I'm going to do all of this. And he says, they turn around and they answer him, well, go ahead, prepare it. Have it done. And I love how it says that Abraham went quickly. Actually, if you look this up in the Septuagint, it more or less has this understanding of running the race. He's actually rushing for this. Now, you got to understand, he's 99 years old. He's 99. And he rushes in and he tells Sarah, quick, he says, take this 3 sieves of flour, basically 21 quarts. He says, and knead it and make some cakes. And then he goes out and it says he ran to the herd. And he was seeking for a calf that was tender and good, offering the best that he could. And he gives it to a young boy and he tells him, quickly, prepare this. This is talking fresh food here. And so then he takes curds and he takes milk, he says, of the calf, and had it prepared. And he sets all of this before them. He's taking care of his guests. Hospitality is so important in this day and age. There weren't inns around. It wasn't like you could go to the Hilton and find a place. But Abraham was so thankful that his Lord came to visit him. That he was able to talk with him. That he was worthy enough that he would stay. But why did the Lord do this? That's a real question. Because in my human brain, I think, Abraham, you and Sarah blew it. You really did. You know, when you were 85 years old, Sarah convinced you of a plan. You went totally against what everything God had promised. And now at 86, you really kind of created a problem. And I think it's kind of interesting because the problem is that Sarah and everybody are jealous over this child. But God didn't lose sight. See, there's another side of the coin that we often don't think about. When we act in our flesh and when we go about doing things, there is also the consequence of God dealing with our other issues. See, we look at here Isaac only. But the fact of it is, God was still consistent to the promise to Abraham, and he takes care of Ishmael. And he takes care of Isaac. See, God, in reality, Scripture says very plainly, he allows the rain to rain on the just and the unjust. There is blessings for everybody. But God is the one to take care. So they all sit down, and they're about to have their meal. And he asks very plainly, where's your wife? Where's Sarah, your wife? Because this is the main subject here. Well, she's in the tent. She was making your biscuits. She was doing her thing. She's in the tent, but she's listening. And the Lord turns around and he comes back to reaffirm to Abraham, this is what I'm going to do for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God, through the power of his gospel, God, through the power of his Spirit, is reaffirming for each and every one of us, this is what I have done for you. This is what I continue to do for you. I have given you my son. I have given you the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to take your sin debt, to pay that penalty. This is the importance of hearing his word and the importance of believing in his word. And there's so many times that Jesse's running through life and then the adversary or someone else will come up to me and cause question. But the Father is still speaking, my son is for you. My promises are for you. Stop looking to the world. Stop listening to everybody else. Your uncle can't tell you how to be saved. In reality, we are saved in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that alone. I'm not saying uncle can't point us. Tradition can point us, but it points to Christ Jesus. The Lord doesn't want us left in our doubt. Just as Peter, when he was struggling, didn't want him left in his doubt. Jesus sent the word directly to him. Abraham, struggling, probably. Maybe I'm reading too much of it, and forgive me for that, but he's human. What a mess. God can do wonderful things with the mess of our lives, if we would but look to him, to trust him, to believe him, to see the value that we have as the children of God is so powerful. Abraham, we're here for a purpose. Where's your wife? At least he didn't say, well, you know, Lord, that woman you gave me, that was in the beginning of Genesis. She's in the tent. And the Lord says, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, she will have a son. Not a mistress's, not a maidservant, no one else's son. She will have a son. And it says, Sarah was listening. She was listening this whole time. And we're given some indication here. You know, Abraham and Sarah were very old. They're advanced in their years. They're basically, she was what, 90 and 89, and he was 99. And it says that really, the way of being a woman was ceased in her. In other words, she didn't have the ability in human understanding to have a child. Yet God sent Christ into this world through a virgin. Do we believe his word? We know that there are even churches in this day and age that don't even believe that. They say it's a myth. It's a fable. But the perfect work of God does not need our explanation. The perfect work of God is by his voice, by his word, by his authority. If God speaks it, it becomes a reality. You may say, well, where's the proof in that? Well, God said, let there be light. And there is light. By his word, all things are created. By his word, all things are preserved. And by his word, the unthinkable becomes a reality. They were old. And really what this brings is, this is not human beings' attempts. This is not what man could perform, because there was no hope in reality in the flesh for this to take place. And you know what? Oftentimes we look at our lives and we think, there's no hope. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is hope. And his name is Jesus. He is the one that has paid the penalty. He is the one that gives the assurance. And he is the one to give us new life. So Sarah, she was behind the tent, as we said, and she laughed to herself. We always think that when we say things in private, it'll never have an impact. You know, we think that with gossip, we think that with many things, but yet this should be a stark reality to us that the Lord hears all things. And so Sarah, she laughs. And she actually is making sense here in the human understanding. She says, I'm old. I'm worn out. Nothing works as it should. And do you really think that when I'm this old, that I'm going to find pleasure in having a child? That's all she desired. She was jealous of Hagar. Having seed, having lineage was so important to this generation. And it was a promise of God, but yet, once again, in his time, not our time. It's not that we can contribute. It's rather that God gives by promise, by his word. So the Lord turns around and he says, why is Sarah laughing? Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, do we laugh when we hear things that we see as impossible? With man, all things are impossible, but with God, what? Everything is possible. Jesus says in the very Gospel of John, he says, without me, you can do nothing. What are we looking to? Who do we look for? How are we encouraged? By seeking through the power of his word, the power of his spirit, in the finished work of Jesus Christ to be encouraged. That today is a day of victory. That today is a day of hope. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go spectacular in this world. It doesn't mean that we're all going to, you know, in reality, live forever upon this earth and have everything we ever wanted. There's going to be trials. There's going to be struggles. Abraham blew it, no doubt about it. And 14 years later, he's still looking. 13 years later, he's still looking. But God's word is consistent. And God meets him right where he needs to be met. Just as Jesus met Peter where he needed to be met. Even Jesus, he met Saul before he was Paul, right where he needed to be met. Because God has a desire for us to know his truth and his word. He says, why did Sarah laugh? He says, and say, should I really bear a child now that I'm old? That it's impossible with human beings, right? Is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? And that is a question for us today. So many times we look around in this world and we think there's no hope. It's like for some reason or another, I mean, it's important, no doubt about it. Our nation is important. God has definitely blessed us in so many ways. But really, is that the most important thing, is the United States of America? Or is it the kingdom of God? Is there anything that is too hard for the Lord? No. If he can bring grace and salvation to someone just as myself, nothing is impossible for him. For he truly is good. And he truly desires for you to have that restoration and that peace. He desires for you to know the forgiveness that he offers, the strength that he offers, and the comfort and the peace that you can live in. We've got to stop looking everywhere else.
but trust his word.
And Sarah, she's no different. He says at a appointed time, he says, I will return to you. He reiterates again, next year, and Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah, she's as human as anybody else, and I'm not picking on her. I'd do the same thing. You're talking to the Lord. You don't want to tick him off. I didn't laugh. But Lord, he just says, yes, you did. You did laugh. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he doesn't kill her. He doesn't get her for that. Our God is above our circumstance. Our God is above our struggles. Our God is above our governments and our world. What he says will come to truth. We can be concerned, sure. We can do our part, sure. But in the end, the one thing that I do promise you by the word of God, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. May he be honored. May he be glorified. May we believe his word, because nothing is too great for our God. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father,